that is being tested. And in practice, it is working. I also think there's something to be said for, especially for anti-civ folks. And I have to say, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that position so much anymore, but I used to, and was interviewed at some point on a project that I did within that. And I think one thing that, and at the time I referenced like a Books to Prisoners project, but in this case, anti-ICE stuff, if you are advocating for a collapse of civilization, I do think that working on projects that illustrate how we look out for each other are vital, because to me, like, that is like the difference between the people who you meet and tell them that you want to, yeah, knock out the, or not knock, you don't want to knock out, but you know, you'd love to see the power knocked out to everything on the Eastern Seaboard, including, you know, which will inevitably include hospitals or whatever. And the idea that you're not a genocidal maniac is really proven in the work that you're doing in that moment of trying to help your fellow human being survive the current situation. I will say, I think with all that said, I do think that, like, to me, pretty much since like the pandemic, I think like anti-civ theory just has not felt super relevant to me in so far as that like things are collapsing. So I don't like, to me, like anti-civ is just like, it's just the water that we're swimming in at this point. You know, like I used to produce a lot of anti-tech and anti-civ media, and yeah, starting in 2020, I just like I had nothing left to say. You know, everyone hated their screens and was hyper-mediated and was memeing about it and writing about it and making videos about it, and you know, the people finally, you know, the class war finally merged with anti-tech Kaczynski and whatever fucking theory, as like Zuckerberg and Musk and those folks like emerged as like their final form fascists or whatever that the liberals had like failed to see in the 2010s or whatever. And yeah, like explicitly anti-civ theory like stopped seeming very relevant to me, I guess, just 'cause like it is collapsing. And so the question is like, okay, well, like what ducks you want to get in a row?
But wouldn't it have to do with like it is collapsing, but like with people who want to save and people who don't want to save the civilization, you know? I don't know. I think that I might agree more with you than I thought I was at first. Because yeah, that I do think there was a time when there were more people thinking of how this tech, all the technologies would help turn the life in a more free life, and there were a lot of people very excited about internet, and I feel like at least in the anarchist environment it's I don't see that much anymore. I don't see that, yeah, people seem very disillusioned in general with internet and not, and even if they use it a lot, like they don't really think that's the way anymore. But wouldn't anti-civ maybe be like, because some people think there's something to save on the society, you know, and anti-civ has maybe think there's nothing to say. I'm kind of babbling here, but I'm curious, like for real.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, like, there are definitely different types of people who want to save our collapsing civilization. And I think, like, anti-Civ in a lot of ways can look like combating those things. And to me, like, one of those main emerging ones, right, is like state eco-fascism. I mean, there's like autonomous eco-fascism as well, which is like, we can put a pin in that. But I mean, yeah, just like part of the project to save American civilization is like hardening the borders against climate refugees and like creating a surveillance apparatus, you know, to and prison apparatus and legal terrorism framework in order to like regulate the movement and behaviors of people within these borders. And so, yeah, I think like to me, that's figuring out how we build our networks and our projects and our organizational frameworks. I mean, civilization is in, at least in the Western world, civilization is in free fall. Like, no one in the US thinks that things are getting, I mean, maybe like a few like fucking AI hucksters, but like no regular person in the US thinks that things are getting better here anytime soon. Things are only decaying and collapsing. And that's like, that's from you know, far right to far left, like basically every, and obviously anarchists, like everyone kind of knows that things are just like falling apart.
Yeah, but thinking that things are falling apart, it's different. And also like what I'm trying to say, like, because for me, I understand anti-Civ against like, and you have degrees maybe of anti-Civ. I don't know if it's possible to say that, but there is like you being against like the whole structure, you know, the whole societal structure, including not just borders is a common theme.
Sure.
Being against borders is a common theme in anarchists, but not all anarchists are against, like, let's say, health networks, school. You know, I feel like civilization, you want to really destroy, like, there's something about, like, destroying the whole Western civilization the way it is, all the institutions and all. And I'm not sure that even though anarchists, in theory, are against institutions, I'm not sure they are, all anarchists are in the same page with the things that should disappear and not.
Yeah, I guess to me, like, but that's like sort of what I'm saying is like you mentioned schools, for example.
Yeah.
It's like the school system in the US is disintegrating. Like to be for or against schools in the US is irrelevant.
It's non-functional. I don't think it's irrelevant, because that's the difference between you want it to crumble and you help it to crumble, and you want it to save it and reform it, and you know, like the story with prisons, like you want to abolish prisons or you want to reform them. It's easier for anarchists to think in terms of prison, but I think you can put it for other things too.
Yeah, I guess I think I don't think anyone is saving or reforming the public school system. Like, I think, short of either like the fascists swooping in and like refabbing them as like weird like white training camps, or like some like socialist party, you know, being swept into power from the left, which would never fucking happen, and like boosting funding and all those kinds of things. Like, as long as like Democrats or Republicans are in office, like the schools will only be continually defunded. Like, they're physically falling apart.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes when, and I feel like the conflict this person that wrote might be feeling, if, because like a lot of these anarchist projects, like they feel they are helping people, and I honestly, I would never, I would always like, this, okay, let me start again. So these projects, they are not helping destroy civilization. Sometimes they are even like, they're helping just maintaining people, and maybe this is even like holding back some revolution or rebellion or something. But on the other hand, like I would not know, like I would not know how to not be against some of these projects, you know, because it feels like it's, you also don't, or I also don't want people to be miserable, even I don't need to like the people and agree with them. I don't want them to get hungry. I don't want them to go to prison. I don't want that, you know. I wonder if that's the feeling, like, of doing this kind of projects. It feels like you're just helping to maintain this, like, you're not acting on the destructive part. You're kind of keeping it, like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the nature of their anti-ICE work is. Like, when I turn on my news or whatever, like, a lot of anti-ICE work looks like running agents out of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And I guess to me, again, like, to me, anti-civ theory right now, or, like, a fixation on anti-civ theory right now, like, misses, like, where we're at in, like, the timeline. How? Like, the thing I was saying, like, I think we're in, like an extremely late-stage capitalism where, social media is becoming, like, fucking unusable.
Good.
Like no, I know, but that's what I'm saying is, like Reddit is just bots. Like, we're quickly moving towards, like the realization of, like, dead internet theory, basically. And I think, and so to me, like, that thing is, like, all this stuff is, like, products are shittier and shittier and fall apart, and, like, Americans are, like, being pushed to, like, fucking thrifting and, like, scraping, you know, like, fucking deal shopping and, like, surplus stores and shit like that, and, like, and a bunch of our, like, supply lines are becoming, like, fickle and weaker as, like, previously third world countries actually, like, emerge as, like, economic powerhouses and don't fucking need us anymore. So, I mean, like, I think American civilization, at least, like, is in, like, slow free fall. And I think that, like, that thing is, like the anti-civ question is, like, is towards ending civilization.
Okay,
and to me, like, the thing is, like, why do you want civilization to end? Like, what is it that you want to do in this non-civilization? And you should start working on that and figuring out what you need to do to have that there, because I actually think we're just moving towards that at this point.
Okay, I agree with you with this last part.
It's like being anti-ship and, like, the Titanic has a massive fucking hole. Like, you don't need to be anti-Titanic at that point. You need to figure out, like, what you wanted to do after the Titanic sank.
Okay, I agree with you that I do think that people should always try to figure out, like, how to live their lives without needing the support of the civilization, you know, start creating things and networks and all that. I 100% agree with you.
I'm not necessarily talking about, like lifestyle withdrawal stuff. I just mean, like, building whatever networks you're going to need in your neighborhoods or whatever.
Yeah. No, that too. I'm not talking about one or the other type. But I also think you cannot talk about American civilization. I think the civilization is this whole thing. And it doesn't matter if right now, like, the U.S. as a country is, like, sinking. I came from a third world country, and, like, being precarious and have to make up things is just, like, it's just how you live. And it doesn't mean that this is not civilization. It is part of civilization. So if the signs change, if, like, U.S. go lower and start dealing with precarious situation and other countries go up, that's not changing civilization. It's changing the country's situation, but the civilization is still there and working.
I feel like American anarchists trying to figure out how to like short circuit China's civilization is pretty
That's
navel gazing at them. You have no power in that. You have no ability to influence that.
No, but that's what I don't think you can talk about like Chinese. I don't think you can talk about like countries specifically civilization. There is a way people live that involves both the culture and institutions and relationships with, and that's all of that is the civilization. And it doesn't matter if one of them is sinking and the other one is raising, you're still like, you're keeping the imbalance is part of the civilization. Okay,
but my point is just like you have no influence. No American anarchist has any influence in the Chinese situation. So if the thing you're saying is true, then anti-civ anarchism is thoroughly irrelevant.
I don't,
because you have no ability to influence Chinese civilization.
No, you don't, but
so what does it have to do with anything then?
No, you start local doing the things you were saying you're doing.
That's like what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But so I don't know what anyway.
I mean, to me, like, this also feels like it just, like, we're back at, like, desert at this point where, like, yeah, capital is going to expand and constrict in different places around the world and at different paces. Like, things aren't just going to, like, come down or whatever. Like, different parts of the world are going to become, like, non-financially interesting for capital at different times and at different paces. And that's just what civilizational collapse is going to
I'm hoping for
strongholds built that'll outlast every other part of civilization.
I'm hoping for that this civilization is collapsing. I'm just not sure if it is. I'm never sure if it is if the change that are happening is towards that or it's something different. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, that's the thing, is it could be moving towards something different. And to me, like, that's the part that like quote anti-civ anarchists should maybe think about is like, yeah, like I said, like one of the groups trying to save civilization is like fascists. You can call them eco-fascists. You can call them fascists. Whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like the people who are like, there's only enough resources here for X number of people, and like we're gonna choose based on fucking race or citizenship or whatever weird in-group out-group metric they find. And yeah, I mean, that like borders and the militarization of police, you know, which is surely ICE, and like, right, they're building out we're seeing like probably one of the largest like building sprees for what are essentially just prisons. We could just call them prisons, you know.
Yeah.
In the last two decades or whatever. And so, I mean, yeah, like they're just building out repressive infrastructure right now. And to me, like, that's just all happening under the auspice of anti-immigration and ICE and that stuff, you know. But yeah, it's like that's just, so yeah, I mean, to me, like that is fighting like the tip of the saving civilizational spear, basically. I mean, if the Democrats get back in, then maybe it would look different. And you know, countering myths around, I mean, yeah, during the Obama years, we mostly countered myths around green energy and made sure that like fracking didn't get counted as like a bridge fuel or whatever, you know. And and you know that green condos weren't used as a wedge for gentrification and shit like that, you know. But now we're in the fucking Trump years again. It's you know, yeah, it's fighting off the fucking building the wall and shooting people for, you know, trying to stop police from kidnapping their neighbors and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not, just to make it clear, I was not calling that reform civilization actions. The ones against. I was not calling it.
Yeah, no, I got you. But no, but the individual in the...
I'm talking more for whoever, if there is anyone listening. Sure. I'm not saying that it's pro-civilization or some, anyway.
Yeah.
Or saving civilization in any way. Anyway. I just want to take a look at the questions. Mm-hmm. I think the first one, is there a gap between theory and practice? And maybe one day I will find out that what people mean by theory in the US, it's something absolutely different than what I understand. But what I understand by theory, it's something very rigid, and something not just rigid, but something like I and something almost religious.
No.
Yeah, I will understand one day. I feel like
If you have a theory. Where you're like, I think if we do A, B will happen.
Okay, but for me, the thing is that, and maybe when you guys mean theory, that's what you mean. Like, for me, there's a lot of, observation, and it's not even like a theory. It's like, oh, I've seen this happening. I've seen that these things work this way, and I've seen these things work this way, and I'm not interested in that thing. I think that sometimes, I like to play with theory in a smaller scale, you know, not in a big scale. I feel like I'm not interested in theory at all. I'm interested in observing but in small scale, I want to bring more people to, I don't know, to anarchist space, or I want to, then I feel like it's, okay, let's try this. If we do this event, oh, it works, because there's also the part that some things are going to work for some places and they are not going to work for other places. And is in that area that I kind of think that small scale theory is interesting, because, yay, that thing worked there. Let's see that small thing in that area. Let's see if it works here. Oh, it didn't. But let's pay attention to what didn't. But a theory theory as like a revolution theory or like a anarchist theory or something like that. It seems to me that that's the thing that feels rigid to me. And
I mean, this person pretty accurately describes what theory is in the article, though.
Do you want to go back there?
Yes. But a space for the interaction of theory and practice. The whole idea to me is that you act on a theory, and if it works, it reinforces your theory. And if the action failed, go back to the drawing board of theory.
Yeah, that
theory and action, action and theory.
That's my problem. That's what I said. In a small scale, I'm fine with that, with small things. But for big things, if you're going to think that, that's what I don't know. No theory coming first. That's not how it, for me, it works. You pay attention. You don't even need to call it anarchism. It feels very rigid to me to come
to think that doing one thing will make something happen.
No, that creating an idea of something. I think that anarchist, and that's what anarchist is different as an example from a lot of lefty theories, is that you have, as an example, Marx created like a theory of how things would work and should work and things to be done. The anarchist, it's something like you're observing what's happening and you are against that shit. And you, while you're doing that, you are creating something that it's not that, but it's not something to be applied. You're creating as, it's almost like as you go and being against something that you are observing there. There's not like, I don't think there's a need for an anarchist theory. I think when you embrace an anarchist theory, it is really easy for you to just become like kind of religious, and then even anti-civ can become like a kind of anarchist religion. Maybe, you know,
especially anti-civ.
Oh, a lot of them actually. I think yes, but if you get too hang up on it, you know, and then. Because then what? If your general theory anarchist, you throw it all out too, because it's a theory, like you try to apply that thing, and if that thing doesn't work, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. As I said,
it makes sense. I just don't know anyone who talks, who like has like a cohesive theory of relativity or whatever, like you're talking about, that I just don't recognize the thing that you're describing.
Okay. You don't recognize the theory, or you don't recognize people not having a theory?
I don't recognize this, like, theory of totality that is, like...
Well, there's a lot... On anarchists, there's a lot. Like, when people say what anarchism is and is not, it's a lot based on theories they decided, like, okay, so this is the anarchist theory, and...
So, like, I guess, like, when I think of... Like, when I think of theory, and maybe, sure, maybe our friends at some publishing outfit would feel differently, but, like to me, like, anarcho-syndicalist theory, right, is, like, I think that if a bunch of us stop working all at once and tell the boss that he needs to treat us better, that he will. And then I think that if we organize enough people to do that, one day, instead of asking him to treat us better, right? We'll get him to treat us better and better in order to show other workers that this is a thing that works, and then they will join us, and eventually we will have enough that we will not need to ask the boss for anything. We will simply tell him to leave. I mean, obviously not tell him, but run him out with probably weapons or whatever. But you know what I mean? It's like essentially, right? Like that's like a very short, you know, abridged version of like a theory.
And I think that's problematic. Like I'm interested in like in the anarchist practice. So the syndicalist practice I'm interested about, not in the syndicalist theory. Like I'm interested in when they go and do the thing, and it's not because they want to try, oh, let's try to see if we can do this with, no, like we're being fucked here. So we're doing this, and it's not because like,
it just sounds like you're against thinking about what you're doing is the thing. Like that's all I'm hearing.
It's not, but it's also like
if you try to set the thing you're doing in any kind of like a larger context, I think it's also cringe or whatever.
I do think that it's part of the anarchist practice. Like you do things, and then while you're doing them, you are also trying to figure out things.
Yeah, that's what this person said.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It said, like, you have a theory. The theory comes first, and I think that's problematic. I think it works in small scale. Like, it's like a game you're playing. Okay, let's try this. But if you're thinking in...
So I have a question in this hypothetical of yours where you lash out at the boss because he's fucking you. Do you do that just thinking that it will feel good, or do you do that thinking that something might happen because of it?
It's not because it feels good. It's because I can't take that anymore. And then you get together with other people that can't take it anymore. And then you talk about it and talk, what can we do about it?
Right, that's theory.
No, yeah, but I'm talking the practice first. The practice, what part of the practice first you're not understanding?
Because I
refusing to work as an example, refusing.
So you're going on strike before you meet with these other people.
I don't know if you go on strike, but like at the sabotages and all that, you know.
What is your goal with the sabotage?
It's
do you have an idea of what the sabotage will do, or are you just having a meltdown and breaking something?
It doesn't need to stop there. But I don't think it starts with a theory. I'm working, and so I need to, I don't know, make a theory about how work will be. No, you're there, you're living that, and you're observing, you're not creating a theory. You're
just describing theory right now.
Nah, I don't think so. I think we disagreeing, and that's fine.
Yeah, you just say, "Hey, I have a theory that the other people around me would also like to not work."
No, no, you saw that they don't. You saw that they're like,
something that made you think.
It does make you think, but
a theory.
It's the practice first.
There's no such thing.
There is such thing.
I mean,
theory, it's like an organized, planned, blah, blah, blah. And that comes.
So I have a question. All right. So you're going to refuse to work.
Mm.
Now, in this refusing to work, do you stay home? Do you shout at your boss, "I'm not going to work"? Or do you just throw yourself on the floor and start babbling? And why do you pick the one that you pick?
I think it depends what enraged me. That's the difference between fucking theory and practice. On practice, I need like the real situation and with all the nuances and
singularities that seriously one of the options you're considering?
What?
You're going to throw yourself on the floor and babble? That's seriously one of the options you're considering?
I don't know. Maybe, depending.
I felt like I said two things that sounded stupid and one that sounded like it made a lot of sense. It's because I have a theory that if you say, "I'm not going to fucking work," other workers will think that that looks reasonable. And if you do the other two...
Not necessarily, because it depends if you just walk away... You might just like that, and it happens a lot. You know, mm-hmm.
Tell me what your theory is about when you walk away.
It's not theory.
It is a theory.
It's observation. It's observation. If you do this by yourself alone, that's why I'm saying there's no like right fucking answer. That's why you need to take into consideration like it's you responding to an actual situation.
Yes.
Not bringing this theory is this. Would you do this or that? This is theory. No, there is no would you do this or that? Because you might do something that you thought you would not do, but that situation called for that. So that's the difference between practice and theory. The theory, like, it's everything is very clean and very clear.
No, I don't think
practice is like that.
I don't think so. I think we disagree. You hung out with some very fucking boring people.
Who, me?
Yeah, dude, it sounds like it.
No, it sounds like you hang out with a lot of boring people. See the next question. people that will... Oh, no, if it's not A, B, or C, I don't know what I'm going to do because those are my options according to my theory.
No, I'm just asking. My point is just like, what do you think will happen when you do this? Do you have any idea?
And that's the fucking clue. And of course, because you, that's the fucking... Depending who...
Are you against strategy?
Depending who are my boss, depending what kind of job I do, depending on even like the political situation.
It's depending
on so fucking much thing, depending my relationship with my coworkers, depending on how, like, why is it, it's not like, that's the fucking theory.
Can you tell me?
Taking all the difference into account. It can't.
So what is the difference between theory and strategy? And are you against strategy?
Let me think. Strategy is a much smaller... it can be... I think... I don't No, necessarily. Now I'm thinking the difference between strategy and tactics.
Because I keep saying a theory, and this person also says a theory a lot.
Yes.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I'm not fully against theories in small scales. I'm against theory in big scales. That's what I'm saying.
How does your local anarchist scene utilize theory in their daily practice, if at all?
How does your local anarchist scene utilize... I don't know. I feel like it's usually used to... I might be wrong because I've been skipping a lot of conversations with people, but because of that, what gets to me, it's a lot of conflict situation, and I think that not all the time, but sometimes, like, it's used to justify one thing or the other, you know, like personal things. That's how, but to be fair with, also no, that's I'm not being very fair here. So I think that's one way, but also, yeah, I think in responses to, like this person said, in response to something like to fascist and ICE, that's too. So I think people do talk sometimes like how you would answer to some things from an anarchist perspective. Yeah, I'm being very unfair, but it's because that's on me. I have not been too close to people talking. But yeah. So I think both. It can be used both to justify personal things that you want to, but also thinking of strategies, if you want, tactics. I don't know what's the right word there.
All right.
About you? What do you think?
Yes, there's a massive gap between theory and practice in my life. I don't know how my local anarchist scene utilizes theory in their daily practice. How has your personal understanding of the relationship between theory and practice changed?
How has your personal understanding of... I feel like that didn't change much yet, and I'm sometimes try to be... Here's the thing. If on a daily basis, if somebody uses theory, I don't discuss it. I try to understand it like they are just using the wrong word.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least for me, from my perspective, I say, I don't think they mean theory, but I also not going to discuss
this. Now, you read a lot of theory, though.
No. I mean, I read some theory, but I...
There's a book that you've been...
It's not about theory.
Okay.
Have you read it?
It's literally anarchist theory.
Which one you're saying?
The one on punishment and...
No.
Is it history?
No.
Is it fiction?
No.
It is theory.
No. You read it. You read it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to you. It's not theory.
Would you describe...
Has some theory.
Would you describe Foucault as theory?
No.
Everyone else would describe Foucault as theory.
I know, because Americans don't know better.
Okay.
Foucault himself doesn't use... And that's maybe where my thing comes. Like, I spent too much
time... Oh, you're just hung up on a word again. Is that it? Is that what we're doing here? Is that what we've been doing for the last 20 minutes? Is that literally you think this thing is great, but there's a word that you're hung up on, and if we called it something else, you wouldn't mind? That is what we're doing. Okay.
That's not just that, because there is also the thing
of... Because you were just about to say Foucault theory. Doesn't use the word theory, and that's why...
But I was not... Theory. Okay. That's true, but also that was not what we were discussing yet. It's just like you brought Foucault right now, and I was like, I remember Foucault actually has like a critique about theory and he opposed theory to analysis, but that was not even what I was talking about. I was talking about how theory was presented, and I told you, like, in a small scale, I think it works. I don't think it works in a big scale, and then we were talking about that. We just shift, and the two things seems to be connected, but not necessarily. I do agree with you. I need to rethink my past formation. Doesn't mean that I disagree with it, but I need to be more cautious on how to use it so I just don't reproduce it. But I was talking about something different until you brought it up, and then my brain went straight to...
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're talking too much, and it might not be even interesting for people who are listening.
Definitely they'll want to turn the volume down. They can listen to it at 3x or whatever until they get through the part where we shout at each other. how has your personal understanding of the relationship between theory and practice changed? My theories have changed dramatically over 25 years, surely. I don't know. And I guess I just practice a lot less than I did at some points in my life.
Okay, so I want to understand something, and I'm not being facetious or anything. Because if I think, like, how I would see anarchist practice before, and how what anarchism was to me before, I would see anarchism before and how I see it now, it had changed a lot. I mean, I don't know if a lot, but a lot of things changed since I was a teen and first heard about anarchism. And I wouldn't call that theory. But would you say there is a... So when you say that your theory didn't change...
So... When this person uses the term theory in here, they say insurrectionary anti-civilization. Those are the words they use. When they are talking about theory, those are the words they... those are the types of adjectives
theory. That's the thing that I think... That's the big part that I think is very limiting and very rigid. Like, I would not like to call myself... like one kind or other kind. Like, I wouldn't call myself again, like an individualist or a communist. Because I think that it is like, there are moments and there are situations that things that would be more considered more to one side or the other, or even both at the same time would happen. So that's what I think theories are very, very limiting and can just become easily like a religion or something.
Yeah, I think you're against dogmas, but it's okay. We don't need to keep dissecting what the word theory means.
But anyway, so when you say that your anarchist theory didn't change...
Changed dramatically.
Okay, has changed dramatically. Okay. I don't have anything to ask.
Yeah, I mean, just...
No, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it just means that the stuff that I think is important as a cornerstone for stuff is different than the things I thought were, focal points or whatever.
Okay.
Or I think at a different scale, or I think that the thing that... And part of it is, like, the thing that I think that should be tackled, right? Where, like... Like, when I was doing a lot of anti-prison stuff, it's because I thought that prisons were one of the rupture points in our society, right? Where I thought that prisoners were a not uniquely reachable class of people, but certainly... people with every reason to want to destroy the current system, and also the people most open to having fucking kind of dry literature sent to them, honestly. Yeah. And mm-hmm. and would read it and discuss it. I thought simultaneously, and the fact that, like, yeah, with 2.3 million people in prison here, like, most people, especially, like, working class people, have loved ones in prisons. And yeah. So it's true. Like, I picked the thing that I was going to focus on for several years based on what I thought would be relatable to both people on the outside and was also, and also that I thought that our current society was dependent on prisons. And so that, like, simultaneously, it seemed like a thing that you could rally people against, and that our current society would have a lot of trouble actually, like, negotiating on.
Yeah.
So that was my theory.
Okay. Anything you would like to bring from the comments? I didn't read. I mean, I'm not. I'm sorry. I just
probably one of the most insufferable comment sections we've had so far. Sorry, last time I said that, someone got mad at me. Someone who I like.
We don't have to comment then. I'm tired. That's all. I'm trying to not say sorry, but also
there's a very special line in here.
Person alone.
Okay, all right.
Okay, or
no,
you say,
no. It's fine. I'm
Christian. You can go ahead.
No, I'm not gonna roast anybody on here. It's
you
it's
can
okay.
roast. It's fine. People are on the internet. I worry more than I should, probably.
Nah, I'm all right.
Okay. Okay.
Oof, another one in the bag.
Yep.
All right, this is what happens when we get caffeinated late at night and then just, like, go for it.
Yep.
All right. Okay. All right, Donnie fucking don't.
And Chi-Chi, bye.
This week's podcast is sound edited by Rosnate. The What's New is written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and
Textovera.
We hope this podcast is useful too and fun for anarchists and the anarchists.
Then it's not the end of the world.
Soon it will be finished so far.
Regale musica!
Regale
monete fibile! La sala! Salon di umile banale!
Papa!
mamma, papà, di Giulio, nulla,
wenn jetzt hier eine Einigung da ist, mit was für einer Position gehen die EU-Länder im Rat jetzt in diese Trilogverhandlungen rein?
Also Chatkontrolle ist, wie du schon gesagt hast, ein Auf und Ab gewesen, eine Achterbahn der Gefühle. Und jetzt gerade hat eben im Rat der EU es eine Einigung gegeben nach jahrelanger Blockade in dem Gremium. Und zwar, weil sich auch die Position verändert hat, die dort im Rat jetzt vorgeschlagen wurde. Bisher wurde versucht, an den radikalsten Vorschlägen festzuhalten. Das würde bedeuten, dass alle AnbieterInnen von Internetdiensten, Chats etc. verpflichtet werden können, private Kommunikation von allen EU-BürgerInnen zu überwachen. Und jetzt wurde eine neue Richtung eingeschlagen. Es wurde versucht zu sagen, gut, wir machen eine freiwillige Ausnahmeregelung, die so seit wenigen Jahren besteht, die auch auf Absicht als Ausnahmeregelung temporär gemacht wurde, dass man die jetzt permanent machen möchte. Das würde bedeuten, dass zum Beispiel Meta, Facebook etc. auf freiwilliger Basis entscheiden können, seine private Kommunikation zu durchleuchten. Sie wären aber gesetzlich erstmal nicht direkt dazu verpflichtet. Das heißt, so ein Messenger wie Signal könnte sich entscheiden, das nicht zu tun. Das war das, was am Ende jetzt den Durchbruch im Rat der EU gebracht hat, ist aber nach wie vor ein Vorschlag, der mit sehr vielen Problemen einhergeht. Da können wir vielleicht auch gleich drauf eingehen.
Definitiv. Vielleicht vorher noch ganz kurz die Nachfrage. Es geht ja in diesem Verordnungstext wahrscheinlich nicht nur um das Scannen von Messenger-Nachrichten, sondern auch ein bisschen mehr. Gibt es da noch andere Aspekte, die spannend sind zu beleuchten, worum es in dieser Verordnung insgesamt alles geht?
Dieser Verordnungsvorschlag läuft ja unter dem Titel, dass man sich gegen die Online-Verbreitung von Darstellungen sexualisierter Gewalt an Kindern, dass man dagegen vorgehen möchte und dass man Kinder online besser schützen möchte, was ein gutes Ziel ist. Da sind sich auch alle immer einig gewesen schon. Die Frage war immer nur, welche Maßnahmen sind dafür wirklich geeignet? Und eine der Maßnahmen, die dazu auch vorgeschlagen wird, ist, über Alterskontrollen im Internet auf technischer Basis Plattformen abzusichern und zu kontrollieren. Das würde aber in der Praxis auch bedeuten können, dass wir alle, wenn wir online irgendwelche Dienste verwenden wollen, erstmal unseren Ausweis zücken müssen oder unser Gesicht durch so ein biometrisches Erkennungssystem checken lassen müssten, bevor wir überhaupt Messenger oder irgendwelche Online-Dienste verwenden können. Das ist ein massiver Eingriff und ist auch sehr fragwürdig, ob der überhaupt irgendetwas bringen würde für das Ziel, was hier programmiert wird. Also auch da gibt es noch viele Probleme, die neben der Überwachung von Chats damit schwingen.
Das heißt, eigentlich zwei größere Probleme, über die es zu diskutieren gilt, während diese Trilogverhandlungen laufen. Vielleicht ganz kurz ein bisschen Kontext. Wie laufen so Trilogverhandlungen überhaupt? Also die drei EU-Organe kommen im Wesentlichen zusammen, die Europäische Kommission, der Europäische Rat und das Parlament der EU. Und die jeweiligen Positionen werden verglichen und dann wird darüber verhandelt, ob man zu einer gemeinsamen Entscheidung zu den einzelnen Punkten kommt. Diese Verhandlungsdokumente sind allerdings meistens nicht öffentlich oder werden auf Anfrage auch häufig viel zu spät herausgegeben. Das heißt, es ist ein bisschen schwierig mitzukriegen, wie die verlaufen werden. Das vielleicht schon mal vorneweg. Ich glaube, mit Blick jetzt auf die anlasslose Massenüberwachung von Kommunikation, verschlüsselter Art vor allem, aber vielleicht auch mit Blick auf dieses andere Problem der eindeutigen Identifizierung von NutzerInnen wäre so ein bisschen die Frage, wird es da nochmal Streit geben? Werden sich diese Positionen nochmal vielleicht verändern oder ist es ganz klar, was vom Tisch ist und was nicht?
Ja, auf jeden Fall. Da ist auch alles möglich, im Guten wie im Schlechten. Und das ist ein Grund zur Sorge auf jeden Fall, denn wie du schon gesagt hast, diese Trilogverhandlungen zwischen den Institutionen, die sind extrem intransparent. Das bedeutet für uns als Zivilgesellschaft, wir haben da immer eine ganz schwierige Position, während wir in Verhandlungen transparent im Parlament etc. ablaufen, da können wir unsere Meinung in offiziellen Stellungnahmen, wie auch immer, dazu abgeben. Wenn wir aber warten würden, bis diese Trilogdokumente öffentlich werden, dann können wir noch aus historischer Perspektive sagen, okay, da habt ihr Fehler gemacht, dann ist es aber schon zu spät. Das heißt, wir müssen hier über direkte Kontakte, die wir in die Institutionen pflegen und gepflegt haben über die Jahre, müssen wir versuchen, da eine Information zu bekommen, um frühzeitig auf diesen Prozess einwirken zu können. Und das ist eine der Aufgaben, die wir als digitale Gesellschaft auch haben, als Verein, ist, dass wir eben ein gemeinnütziger Verein sind, der hier mit VerhandlerInnen auch spricht und wiederum die Zivilgesellschaft informiert, hey, hier entwickelt sich gerade etwas Schlechtes, wir müssen gemeinsam Alarm schlagen oder auch konstruktiven Ratschlag geben und sagen, hey, das ist ein Lösungsansatz, mit dem könnt ihr euch positiv weiterentwickeln. Und es wird auf jeden Fall Streit geben, denn die Institutionen haben sehr unterschiedliche Positionen. Der Rat der EU hat jetzt diese sogenannte freiwillige Chatkontrolle, die sie verlängern möchten. Das Parlament wiederum hat gesagt, wir wollen verpflichtende Maßnahmen, aber zielgerichtete Maßnahmen. Nämlich solche, die nur gegen Verdächtige eingesetzt werden dürfen, nachdem das von einer Richterin auch geprüft und genehmigt wurde. Und das ist erstmal eine ganz andere Position, denn während Freiwilligkeit beim Rat sich eigentlich jetzt erstmal nach einer guten Sache anhört, könnte das trotzdem ganz viele Menschen betreffen. Aktuell gibt es diese Ausnahmeregelung, welche vor wenigen Jahren da beschlossen wurde von der sogenannten E-Privacy-Richtlinie. Denn die Grundannahme ist ja eigentlich, wir haben ein Grundrecht auf Privatsphäre. Und das ist auch gesetzlich geschützt. Nur wurde das 2021 in so eine Ausnahmeregelung ausgenommen. Und das bedeutet, dass zum Beispiel auf millionenfacher Basis private Kommunikation heute durchleuchtet werden kann von Meta und Co. Und das machen sie auch. Und dazu gibt es auch schon einen ersten Prüfbericht. Und zwar hatte das Parlament damals, als sie gesagt haben, hey, wenn wir diese Ausnahme genehmigen, dann wollen wir auch von euch starten, ob das wirklich verhältnismäßig ist. Denn es ist ja ein massiver Eingriff in unser Grundrecht auf Privatsphäre, wenn Firmen sowas erlaubt bekommen. Und die Kommission hatte den Auftrag, das jetzt bis zum 3. September vorzulegen, diesen Bericht. Das wäre noch vor der Abstimmung im Rat gewesen. Den Bericht haben sie aber zurückgehalten. Und jetzt Ende letzter Woche haben sie den still und heimlich veröffentlicht. Und jetzt wissen wir auch, warum sie damit so lange gewartet haben, den vorzulegen. Dieser Bericht zeigt nämlich, dass sie überhaupt nicht belegen können, dass diese Maßnahmen effektiv oder verhältnismäßig wären. Im Gegenteil, diese freiwillige Chatkontrolle sorgt in ganz vielen Fällen zu Falsch-Positiv-Raten. Das bedeutet, dass Menschen, die überhaupt gar keine Missbrauchsdarstellungen, die kein kriminelles Material miteinander kommunizieren, völlig zu Unrecht dort von diesen Systemen erkannt werden. Das sind zwischen 2% im besten Fall bis zu 20% im schlimmsten Fall, je nachdem, welches System, welcher Anwendungsfall da gerade mitspielt. Und selbst im geringsten Fall von 2%, wenn wir uns überlegen, wie viele Nachrichten durchleuchtet werden müssen bei digitaler Kommunikation, alle Leute chatten ja heutzutage ganz normal über digitale Kanäle. Das wäre eine riesige Summe von Menschen, die da zu Unrecht schlimmster Verbrechen beschuldigt werden würde. Und diesen Bericht hatte die EU-Kommission viel zu spät jetzt erst vorgelegt. Und ich denke, das wird auf jeden Fall für Streit sorgen, denn auf dieser Grundlage können wir nicht dauerhaft ein Recht auf Privatsphäre so aushöhlen, wenn wir wissen, dass diese Technologien überhaupt nicht funktionieren und Menschen noch zu Unrecht kriminalisieren würden.
Das war ja auch ein Punkt, der schon lange kritisiert wurde, dass diese Technologie so nicht funktionieren kann. Interessant auf jeden Fall jetzt auch zu sehen, dass sich das bestätigt. Ich habe mich gerade gefragt, welche Unternehmen tun das gerade?